A temporary place of worship should have been prepared. Solomon knew that it would take much time to carry out the grand designs given for the building of the temple, and before building the house of the Lord or the walls about Jerusalem, he should have prepared a temporary place of worship for the people of God. He should not have encouraged them, by his own example, to go to the high places to offer sacrifice. But we read, only the people of Israel sacrificed in high places. This is mentioned as a matter that should have been otherwise. Solomon changed his place of worship to Jerusalem, but his former act in sacrificing in a place not made sacred by the presence of the Lord, but dedicated to the worship of idols, removed from the minds of the people something of the repulsion with which they should have regarded the horrible performances practiced by idolaters. This mingling of the sacred and the profane was the first step in the practice of Solomon, which led him to suppose that the Lord was not so particular in regard to the worship of his people. Thus he was educating himself to make still greater departures from God in his work. Little by little his heathen wives led him to make them altars on which to sacrifice to their gods. C. A token of earnest desire, these sacrifices were offered by Solomon and his men in positions of trust, not as a formal ceremony, but as a token of their earnest desire for special help. They knew that they were insufficient, in their own strength, for the responsibilities entrusted to them. Solomon and his associates longed for quickness of mind, for largeness of heart, for tenderness of spirit. A most precious lesson. This prayer is a most precious lesson of instruction. Especially is it of value to those entrusted with responsibilities in the Lord's work. It is a sample prayer, indicted by the Lord, to guide aright the desires of His servants. It is given also for the guidance of those who today are striving to serve the Lord with singleness of heart. It was in the night season that the Lord appeared to Solomon. During the busy hours of the day, Solomon had much to do. Many came to him for advice and counsel, and his mind was fully occupied. The hours of the night, when all was silent, and Solomon was free from confusion, was the time that the Lord chose in which to reveal himself to him. God often chooses the silence of the night to give his servants instruction. He can then gain freer access to their hearts than during the day. There is less to draw the mind from him. The Lord was testing Solomon. He placed in his mind a desire for the things that would enable him to rule wisely the people of Israel. Quoted, it was such a prayer as this that Solomon was continually to offer in the days of exaltation and glory awaiting him. And thus those who today are standing in positions of trust in the Lord's work are to pray. Let them beware of lifting up their hearts unto vanity. Only the prayers of those whose hearts are not filled with self-exaltation and haughtiness will the Lord hear. Quoted. God commended Solomon's prayer. And he will today hear and commend the prayers of those who in faith and humility cry to him for aid. He will certainly answer the fervent prayer for a preparation for service. In answer he will say, Here I am. What wilt thou that I shall do for thee? The lesson to be drawn from this record is more precious than any earthly treasure. He who led Solomon's mind as he made this prayer will today teach his servants how to pray for what they need. Possibilities of a heavenly commerce, this is a lesson for us. Our petitions to God should not proceed from hearts that are filled with selfish aspirations. God exhorts us to choose those gifts that will redound to His glory. He would have us choose the heavenly instead of the earthly. He throws open before us the possibilities and advantages of a heavenly commerce. He gives encouragement to our loftiest aims, security to our choicest treasure. When the worldly possession is swept away, the believer will rejoice in his heavenly treasure, the riches that cannot be lost in any earthly disaster. Study every point carefully quoted. It would be well for us carefully to study Solomon's prayer, and to consider every point on which depended his receiving the rich blessings that the Lord was ready to give him. God dealt according to faithfulness. There is enough contained in these words to silence every skeptic in regard to God sanctioning the sins of David and Solomon. God was merciful to them according as they walked before Him in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. Just according to their faithfulness, God dealt with them. David reproved for walking in own counsel. Quoted, several times during his reign David walked in the counsel of his own heart, and greatly injured his influence by following his impulses. But he always received the words of reproof sent to him by the Lord. These words cut him to the quick. He did not seek to evade the matter, but bore the punishment of his transgression, saying, I have sinned.